The expression Happy New Year has already been on the lips of many, if not all, in this gathering this morning. It has also been upon the minds and lips of many others as well. Indeed, in fact, the vast majority of our people in our province have used these words during the past few days. Some would use the words out of courtesy. Some would use the words well-meaning, wishing their friends and neighbours happiness throughout this year. There are perhaps others, and they give little thought to the meaning of the words. And perhaps they know very little, if anything, about the meaning of true happiness and of what it means to be really happy in the Lord and in His Christ. It's good when we're able to wish others happiness, when it comes as a prayer from the heart and as a wish from the soul, believing that God will answer that prayer. And it is our prayer this morning and our wish for our congregation that in 1992, as we've already begun it, that God will give to us a happy new year in His will. It's our wish that for you it might truly be a year of such happiness that you'll know the Lord's presence, that you'll know the meaning of the word in its fullest terms. For here we have it in the psalm. It is our prayer that you will know what true happiness is, and that this true happiness is found only in Christ. Well did the psalmist put it when he said, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." A new tie has been produced by the Whitfield College of the Bible. Well, it's produced a year ago. I suppose you could still say it's new. It has this text upon it as its logo and motto. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. It's good that we can wear such a text, not just upon our clothing, but upon our hearts, upon our breasts, as we feel within the genuine, true happiness that the Lord is able to give the soul. What is true happiness? Everyone, I'm sure, wants to be happy. Everyone would like to be joyful. Everyone would like to be truly happy. For some, they find their happiness in ease and relaxation. Others find their happiness in their comforts that surround them. Others find happiness in wealth. Some find it in the pleasures of this world. They find some sort of happiness there. And it's in these, from these sources, that people seek their happiness. Many do it. Many do it. Some believe that happiness is freedom from sorrow, freedom from cares, freedom from worries. If this happens to be your definition of happiness, if this happens to be your aim in regard to happiness, well, I'm afraid it will elude you. It will pass you by, because real happiness, genuine peace, comes not from material things, comes not from earthly things, comes not from the passing and fleeting things of time, but the real thing comes from the God of heaven, comes from above. And today, as we commence a new year, As we've already gone into it a little bit, may it be that our hearts will crave for and long for the happiness that the psalmist expresses when he says, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happiness is not all laughter and smiles. Happiness is not all lightheartedness and joking. The face can oftentimes be a very poor indicator of the soul's real state. It can indeed produce a false impression, because behind many a smiling face, there is a heart that is troubled. There is a soul that is deeply disturbed. There is a conscience that can sometimes be very much pricked and hurt. And so therefore, we cannot take the outside appearance, nor the book by the cover. You see the clown when he's acting. My, how behind the smiling mask of the clown, oftentimes when he's not in view of the public, he's miserable. Having tried the world, having tried its pleasures, having tried the things that are in this world to please and to make happy and glad the heart, it all fails. That true happiness is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we put our trust in Him, and as we follow Him in the steps that He directs, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye then in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah there is everlasting strength." And these words would be the exhortation of the preacher today to each one of us as we face this new year. True happiness can only be experienced when a person's highest needs are met, when his most innermost needs are met, when the needs of the soul are met. These are spiritual, not temporal. These are eternal, not temporal. These are the needs of the soul. And when these spiritual and eternal needs are met, then there is happiness in the soul. The source of happiness is not within ourselves. It's not within ourselves to make happy the soul with the so-called joyous acts of this world and pleasures of this world. The happiness of the soul is not of the world, but it has to do with God. It lies in the eternal Jehovah. God is our maker. God is our sustainer. God is our redeemer. And the soul that is at peace with God is the one who is truly happy, is the one who can really express with feeling and meaning to others and wish them that same happiness that they have experienced from God. And my friend, if you haven't experienced it as yet, then it's our prayer that you might come to this God, that you might cast your soul and anchor safely in Him. And know it is when the psalmist said, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." My, if we'd have been alive in Old Testament Israel, we would have witnessed the congregation, the multitudes assembling in Jerusalem. They'd be coming along the road in their droves, in lines, marching up to the temple, praising God. Psalm 122 would give us the picture as we would see and visualize them going up to the worship of the temple. I joyed when to the house of God. They were a happy people. They knew the Lord's peace. They sang it, they lived it, and they worked it out. Sometimes we can measure the extent of that happiness by the volume of our praise, by the volume of our labor, by the volume of our service for Jesus Christ. Though this year, may we come with renewed dedication, with thrilling enthusiasm to serve the Lord. May God give us that determination that 1992 we might with gladness serve the Lord's. Psalm 100, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Serve the Lord with gladness and with mirth. My, what a difference it'll make to the church. What a difference it'll make to the work of God. What a difference it'll make to individuals. What a difference it'll make to the Sabbath school, to the children's work, to the young people's. If we go into this year entering God's gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and serving him with gladness. What a difference. Oh, the happiness that belongs to the people of God that really know him and serve him and follow him. The soul, as I've said, that is at peace with God is truly happy in spite of the outward circumstances, in spite of weakness of body, in spite of sickness, in spite of disease, in spite of some ailment. Oh, beyond all of that, there is indeed that true peace and happiness. That soul can look back with no guilty fears because its sins have been cleansed away. It can look back realizing that all the past has been forgiven, that God hath blotted out our iniquities as a thick cloud, and our sins and iniquities he'll remember no more. Truly, that brings happiness to the soul. That brings peace to the mind. That settles the heart in the hour of temptation and trial. And truly today, we know a little of that blessed happiness that belongs to the people of God, whose God is the Lord. Not only can we look to the past, recognizing that our sins have been cleansed away, but we can look around us in the present without that discontentment which so many experience who seek their happiness in the world. We can look around us in the present with the great discovery that godliness with contentment is great gain. Great peace have they which love thy law. That going through with God, living in the presence of God, living in the light of God, living in the truth of God, that we have indeed this happiness. We can also look to the future. We can look to the future without that anxious dread that hangs over so many people, because we know that we shall be eternally happy with Christ. In thy presence there's fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Friend, we can look back and experience that happiness because our sins are forgiven. We can look around us in the present enjoying the peace and contentment of the Lord. We can look to the future, realizing that we will be forever happy in God's presence, no matter what happens to us here, knowing that it's well with the soul. Oh, peace, great peace of they that know the Lord. Tell me, do you know this happiness today? Are you one who knows that your past sins have been washed away, and that in this present you have the experience of the peace of God? Paul tells us, he says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in the love of Christ. And then he goes on to say that the God of peace shall be with you. So we have the peace of God and the God of peace in this present. And thank God we can look to the future. Tell me, can you look to the future? We know not what this year holds in store. We've been singing about the unknown future, but we can leave it in God's hand. Tell me, is your future in God's hand? Not just tomorrow or this month, but tell me, is eternity in God's hand? Your eternity. I ask you, is it well with your soul? Have you been to Christ, and do you know his cleansing and forgiveness? Where is this happiness to be found? It'll not be found in this world. It'll not be found in rank or fame or position. One of the emperors of the old Roman Empire, Antonius, said on one occasion concerning his imperial power, he said that in spite of all his power, in spite of all his influence, all his responsibilities brought with it an ocean of miseries. In spite of his fame and his position, he was the emperor of a great empire. And he said the responsibilities that go with it brought him an ocean of miseries. Friend, you'll not find this peace and happiness, even though you should be known throughout the world and be famous. Elizabeth I, the one who reigned as queen in England during the time of the Spanish Armada, when Spain sought to capture Britain. In spite of the great victory that God gave on that occasion, and in spite of her power and authority, and in spite of her wearing the crown, one day she heard a milkman sing. He was singing a little verse of a hymn, and he was happy. And she said, and it is recorded, she longed to be like her milkman, because, as she said, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. And my friend, listen, there was Antonius the emperor, Elizabeth the queen, in positions of fame and positions of power, and yet no true happiness in their heart, no true happiness in the soul. Listen, my friend, it's only found in Christ. In Christ alone. Listen, do you know it today? Have you found it? It's not found in riches either. There is much care in hoarding up riches, in the gathering of riches, in the keeping of riches, and in sometimes knowing how to use them and to dispose of them wisely. There's a lot of care and anxiety. You see, those that long for for riches, build their hopes upon it, set their lives to that end, start out in life and continue in life and pursue the gathering of this world's goods. It never satisfies. Remember, the hymn writer says, none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. There are some who set themselves to learning. Study and learning are all very well in their own place. But friend, these things will never bring happiness to the soul. Never bring joy to the heart. The Bible speaks of those who are ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. My, we have some of the most learned today in this world who have turned out to be the most infidel, unbelieving, anti-God creatures that ever was born. And their hearts, instead of being happy, they're pursuing the learnings of this world, but in unbelief and in godlessness. And my friend today, if we haven't got Jesus, we have nothing. In spite of all the fame, in spite of all the riches, in spite of all the learning, if you haven't got Jesus, my friend, you're a pauper. You know nothing. You have nothing. You are poor and unlearned for eternity. Because if you haven't got the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your heart, the knowledge of sins forgiven in your soul, the knowledge that it's well and secure for eternity, my friend, these things mean nothing. You're a lost sinner. You're bound for hell. You'll perish in your sin. You'll be lost forever. Oh, friend, turn today. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. Receive him into your heart and believe in him as your Savior and your Lord and your Master. This true happiness will never be found in pleasure either. This true happiness, my friend, will only be found in the Lord Jesus. You've seen the toys of the children that they received at Christmas time. They were delighted, they were thrilled. But on some occasions, it's not long until that delight, it's not long until that thrill wanes and waxes, and they turn their attention to some other thing for their enjoyment and for their fun. You see, the pleasures of this world are like that. They're fleeting and they're passing. Some may have indulged in pleasures, certain pleasures over the holiday time, pleasures of this world, and already only 5 days into the new year, they have found that they need to turn to something else, for those things no longer satisfy. You see, that's what the pleasures of this world are like. They only set the appetite in motion to pursue something more, and then something more, until all is exhausted. And like Solomon of old, they have to cry out, all is vanity, all is vexation of spirit. There is nothing of true happiness here. I wonder today, have you found that happiness in Christ? There is only one path to happiness, and it's indicated in this text in the psalm. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The person who's the out-and-out Christian is the only happy person. Tell me, Are you going to be an out-and-out Christian this year? If you're a lackadaisical one, half-hearted, half-baked, like a cake that's not turned, said Amos the prophet. Listen, if that's the kind of Christian you are, you'll not have this happiness, nor will you come under the canopy of this statement of the psalmist. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. As you make your resolution and determine to be all out for Christ, to be an all out Christian, to be one who's truly serving the Lord, out and out for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be in harmony with your Creator. You'll be at peace with your Creator, and you'll know it as well in your soul. You'll receive the benefits and reap the fruits of it. The Bible teaches that when a person repents of sin, the Bible tells us that when a person asks Christ to come into their heart to be their Savior, then the peace of God comes into the soul. If you do that today, you'll know the peace of God. The Bible tells us that we will have not only the peace of God, but we'll have the God of peace with us. Will you commit your life to Jesus Christ today? Sinner, will you come to the Savior? Will you ask Him to come into your heart now? Will you say, I'm a sinner, Lord, save me, be merciful to me, the sinner? And determine by God's grace that you will grow in the knowledge of Christ in 1992. Believer, will you endeavor to do that as well? Christian, will you say, Lord, I want to grow in the knowledge of Christ, increase in the Word? Will you ask the Lord that He'll help you to take more time to seek Him in supplication? That you'll take more time to seek Him through His Word in the reading of the Scriptures? So you might have a closer walk with God. And then truly you'll be able to say, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Will you be available to serve Him in whatever capacity He may desire you to serve? Do not be disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Heed His word. Hear His call. Then you'll be able to say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? With that attitude, you'll be able further to rejoice in the Lord always. And at the end of the journey, you'll hear the well done. Give your best to Jesus Christ. If you haven't been doing that, start now. Let this first Sabbath of the new year for you be a service of dedication, of surrender, when you will purpose to be your best for the Master. Remember to go through with God, your vows to pay, your all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest, and He'll bring to you God's very best. Let us pray.